In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. Christos Anesti. On the fifth Sunday of Pascha that we celebrate today, we read and we heard the gospel account about a Samaritan woman's conversation with our Lord. And the tradition tells us that this woman became known as Fotini, a saint of the church, and we commemorate her as well today as her name day, Saint Fotini. And so she had this conversation with our Lord at Jacob's well, and like every gospel really that we hear, this gospel as well has great significance to us as Orthodox Christians, because the event that occurred by Jacob's well, the encounter between our Lord and the Samaritan woman, foreshadowed the establishment of the church, of Christ's church here on earth. And as we will celebrate in a few weeks, the day in which the Holy Spirit descended upon the holy apostles and Christ's new covenant with the church was established. And we know this as Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost. So Christ made evident to the Samaritan woman, made this evident to her when he tells her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. For it's time, at this time I should say, this entire conversation that Christ had with the Samaritan woman was very extraordinary. Not only did it give insight to the establishment of the church here on earth, but it gave insight on how his future faithful would pray and worship. He does this by revealing the active role and impact that the Holy Spirit will have on each of his newly chosen people, which is the new covenant, understood as the new covenant, the Gentiles and all who believed in him. And this new covenant, this active role that the new covenant, the new people, if you will, and all believed in him would have, would be in their worship and their prayer. For Christ said to the Samaritan woman, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth." And if we're going to take anything from this gospel message today, there's a couple of phrases that we should take with us. The first one is this: worshiping in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. In spirit, meaning to worship with one's soul, because God himself is bodiless. And as the blessed Theophylact, Archbishop of Ohrid and Bulgaria, a saint from the mid-11th century, said, he said, God must be worshipped in an incorporeal manner, appropriate to the soul, which is both spiritual and bodiless. And in truth, meaning to worship God in full reality, or with a pure mind, contemplating the divine nature of God. No longer will worship and prayer to God be confined to one area, one location, as the Samaritans and the Jews believed. For the Samaritans believed that God was only present and could be prayed to on Mount Gerizim, the location that tradition said where Isaac was taken to be sacrificed by Abraham. That's where the Samaritans would go and where they thought that the place to worship God. And as for the Jews, they believed that the temple in Jerusalem was the only location where God was present and to be prayed to. No longer in the new covenant. This is why the Samaritan woman told Christ in responding, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Christ reveals in this gospel account of the Samaritan woman that it's no longer important necessarily at what location you pray, but it's how you pray. It's what the condition is of your soul, what the condition is of your heart. Christ tells the Samaritan woman, if thou knowest the gift of God, in this case, the gift of God implies the abundant graces of the Holy Spirit, which we now have at the birth of the church at Pentecost, we have as a great impact on the spiritual life of Christ's future faithful, and that is us here today, and on how we will worship and pray to Him. Through the gift of the Holy Spirit, His faithful will now be able to communicate, to pray, and worship to God at any location, at any time, at any place. Now, God's new covenant is able to pray with and through their spirit. The Apostle Paul told the church in Rome, chapter 1, verse 9, he said, God is my witness, whom I worship with my spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit is given to each of us during our baptism. When the priest chrismates or anoints us with the Holy Chrism, and he says, the seal of the gift of the Holy Spirit. The seal of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The seal of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Apostle Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians, St. Paul tells the church in Corinth, he says, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. He set His seal of ownership on us. He put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what was to come. Christ describes this gift of God or the Holy Spirit to the Samaritan woman as how? How does he describe it? He describes it as living water. Living water. Again, the Blessed Theophylact explains, the Lord calls the gift of the Holy Spirit water because it cleanses and it refreshes those who receive it. It is not still. It is not stagnant like the water in ponds or wells, but living and continuously gushing upwards. For the grace of the Holy Spirit makes the soul constantly active in doing good, always ready for spiritual ascents. Now for us, water in the physical sense is needed. It's necessary. It's essential for us to sustain us physically. We need it to live. But here, the living water, or the gift of the graces of the Holy Spirit that Christ speaks of, is needed not only to sustain us spiritually, but it allows us to grow spiritually. It allows us to develop. It allows us to become closer in communion with Him. It awakens our spiritual blindness and makes our soul come alive with the love of God and with the love for others. As the Holy Spirit graces our lives, the more we want to share it, the more we want to offer it with others, the more and the yearning to know more about God and unite ourselves with Him becomes even greater and even greater and even more the desire that we have. Indeed, our souls become a spring gushing forth, yearning to know and love Christ as much as we possibly can do. And Christ makes this evident when He tells the Samaritan woman, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water I shall give him will become in him like a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. So the question then for us this day, as we hear this gospel, as we worship here, hopefully in spirit and in truth, the question we must ask ourselves is, do we take the opportunity to seek and drink of the living water that Christ provides us? Has our fountain run dry? Do we truly thirst for God? Do we truly seek God? Do we truly seek Christ in our lives? Do we truly try to abide and follow the teachings of the gospel? I would hope that the answer is yes. However, it may very well be no. Often we turn to God when it is only convenient for us. Often we turn to Him. We don't take necessarily the time to truly learn about the Son of the living God. We don't make an effort to make Christ the center of our lives and an everyday part of our lives. If we did, the living water that He mentions would graciously be poured upon us daily. But instead, we often choose to be part-time whenever it's convenient for us. We choose it to be whenever the need may come to us. We want to live by our own gospel and not by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Instead, we should actively seek out Christ in our lives, just as the Samaritan woman did when she asked Christ, "Where then do you get that living water?" See, you see, she recognized it in an instant. Where do you get that living water? Where is it? I want it. Saint Seraphim of Sarov says, "The true aim of our Christian life consists of the acquisition of the Holy Spirit of God." You may have heard that before. It's often quoted. The acquisition of the Holy Spirit of God. That's the true aim of our lives as Christians. Therefore, if we truly desire to worship Him in spirit and truth, and truly want to drink of the living water and have the Holy Spirit grace and be part of our everyday lives, we must seek Him. We must respond to Him. Firstly, we must wholeheartedly learn to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Secondly, we must make an effort to worship on a regular basis, to pray daily, to seek the sacraments of penance and communion more frequently, to make an effort to fast, to truly learn not to judge others, to readily forgive others who have wronged us, and to help those as best we can who are in need of physical and spiritual assistance. When we truly orient ourselves as disciples of Christ, He will give us this living water that the Samaritan woman found that day, that all of us desire. And the more we will want, and the more we will want to share it with others, just as the Samaritan woman did when she went into the town, when she received the living water from Christ at Jacob's well, and she went back as a disciple of Christ and shared the living water with her fellow townspeople. And as a result, she led a multitude, we heard, of Samaritans back to the well, where they all believed that Jesus was the Son of the living God. Therefore, during this fifth Sunday of Pascha, each one of us, each and every one of us, must strive for that living water each day, so that we may never find ourselves spiritually thirsting for God's presence in our lives. Just as the Samaritan woman wanted to learn about Christ and asked Him, "Give me this water that I may not thirst," we also, each day, must ask Christ to give us this living water so that it may spiritually sustain us during these challenging times that we have as Christians, the challenging times that we live in, each and every one of us, whatever circumstance it is in our lives. Seek out this living water. It will sustain us. The more we humble ourselves and ask Christ for this living water, the more that our lives will be filled with the grace of the Holy Spirit. And then we too may share this grace of the Holy Spirit with others. By doing so, then, we become true disciples. We become true witnesses of the risen Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ is risen. Amen.